I think the question on this third Sunday of Advent is, it's a Sunday dedicated to rejoicing. Sometimes we have to look for things to rejoice in. You know, and the weather's bad like this and things, and getting close to Christmas, you might feel behind or lonely or something. We're also asking ourselves at this opening of the year of mercy, am I a merciful person, really? What does it mean to be a merciful person? And in a way, John answers this from the gospel of 2,000 years ago. John was a real fire and brimstone kind of preacher, and then Jesus came along had a different approach, as if God has different ways of speaking to us at different times of our lives. And when we unpack this a little bit, it reminds me a little bit, I don't know if you get National Geographic, but there was an article in there. I've been to New York City a few times, and there's an article about a building that was being put up. I don't watch much TV, but I remember seeing a documentary about this a couple of years ago. It's a building that's almost as tall as the World Trade Center, and it's residential, and it's on a street called, they're now calling it Billionaire's Row. I think it's like 53rd Street or something. And when I was there, of course, none of these buildings existed, but there was one on the Lower East Side that was similar to this. And it's got like 86 floors, and the top one went for almost $100 million, as if you all the way around of New York City. Nobody knows who bought it. The thing about this building, people are complaining that it's taking the light from Central Park. There's so many of these huge things being built for residences. They're glass walled, and you can't get in and you can't get out. There's no sound. And I was thinking, what would they do if John the Baptist showed up preaching in New York City? Well, you wouldn't be able to hear him. You have an enclosed world. You don't let any, a world, imagine a world where you have everything that you want, that money can buy anything, including silence. And people like John can't get in, and neither can anybody else's problems. I thought about John preaching on the street down there. I don't know what he would be saying about those glass monuments. Billionaire's Row. If anybody owns one of those, please see me after Mass. We need some money here at the parish. But there's a back door, though, that they cannot control. And the back door, of course, is death. This is a temporary world that we live in. It doesn't matter how much we have. It's a question of what we do with it. And the Lord exhorts us to be merciful. And the more merciful we are, the more we're going to rejoice now and later. Because life is all about what we do for other people. That's what Christmas is all about. And that's why a lot of us do what we do with all the guests that we have over and preparations and things that we do. Christ, of course, we're trying to prepare a place for Christ as well. It's hard to get all that stuff done. When John is talking about, he says, well, we do this in this parish. If you have two cloaks, you should share. People in Oregon need more than one coat, let's face it. But what Christ is talking about is having way too much of something, and then what good is it if I just pile up stuff upon stuff and don't share with anybody? If I don't share my time, if I don't share who I am, if I don't allow people to inconvenience me, the cloaks are just symbolic. And tax collectors, they made their money by taking a lot more than was asked, and that was how they made their living. And so most of them were corrupt. It said, don't take advantage of your position. If you are able to get away with something, don't do it. God's watching. That's the message there, among others. Soldiers say, what should we do? No, practice extortion. In other words, if I'm in a position of power over somebody, and almost everyone is at some time, especially parents or educators or anything, don't take advantage of that. Be merciful in what you do, or people will resent it later. You have to put it back later. How did I live the authority that God gave me? And people are filled with expectation of what John is saying. John has only preached for a little while, and yet the voice echoes through the centuries to anyone who will listen. But we can put up a glass wall and not hear and go off in the wrong direction and lose what God is, and God is mercy. It's hard to get a handle on mercy, I think. The word comes up in Mass constantly if you start listening to the prayers, in the Eucharistic prayer, and we're always praying to God for mercy. and yet sometimes we're a little reluctant to show it to others. When I remember when I was working for the airline, I had a really good job at the end. It was a non-public contact position. That's the best kind. Didn't have to deal with the traveling public. It was a very coveted position. I had one of the best jobs in my particular work group. We were helping people with special meals and things. Occasionally I had to get somebody off a plane if it was too full, but other than that, it was a very good job. And I went over to somebody's position once to ask them a question. Did not know this person at all. I don't recall even meeting this person, except that one time we both applied for the same job, and I remember he got it, and then I got it later. I got another position similar to that, but I remember him beating me out of a job at one point, but he never knew who I was. So I came up to ask this person a question, not knowing this person at all. They're working on the computer. Doesn't say a word to me. So I asked the question again. The person just keeps typing. There's nobody in front of him. Just keeps typing. I asked a third time. I thought, how weird is this? Smirked, but kept on typing. Now that was 30 years ago. You know that still bothers me? Have you ever had that experience? Probably your spouse, right? Ever got the silent treatment from somebody? And never heard the word, I'm sorry? It still bothers me. That's what I mean by merciless behavior. That, to me, that's probably the most merciless thing that's ever been done to me, because it was done for no reason except to hurt. I don't know why that person did that, but I can assure you that wasn't the only time they did it. They went on to get a very coveted position with the company, actually working in Hawaii, which is hard to get with the airline, and they're probably retired by now. I wonder what kind of life that they live, though. I sometimes think about that person. I think, I would never do that to somebody, but maybe you and I are merciless in other ways, and it has hurt people down through the years. I remember being unkind to somebody in grade school, you know, and you kind of think about it as time goes on. I did that once, and that, you know, you can't go back and say you're sorry, so you have to go to confession because you can't reach back there, but God can. So much of our merciless behavior is either in how we share or don't share what we have by holding on to things that were meant to help others, such as my time or the things that I own, as John is talking about over and over again, or abusing power, which he's also talking about, or it's what I say. And I think language is probably where we hurt people the most. It's where we have the most power over others. I've been the victim of it a number of times, and I'm sure most of you have as well. Our Lord, on the last day of our lives, we're going to want him to say, I accepted your apology, and I want you to come in and live with me forever. But he's also going to look at our lives in the ways in which we, when we had power, when we had the opportunity, was I really a person of mercy? Did I care about others? We can't care about everyone, but people will cross our paths, and God is hidden within them, one after the other. If I blow it in one area, here comes another one. We always have, as long as we live, we have another moment. We don't want to wall ourselves off with glass like the people. I'm not condemning people in that building, but it was kind of a symbol to me of the potential some of us have to wall ourselves off from everyone and not really discover what life is all about. And it's really about those encounters with people that are inconvenient or people that we need to show mercy to that don't deserve it, that frankly have not asked our forgiveness, but who we still have to forgive, perhaps over and over again. They're long gone from our lives, and yet something they said, you might have been married to them at one time, and it hurts because they knew where to hurt you and they got you, and they enjoyed hurting you as well. Those are the people we have to forgive, and God asks us of that because when we do that, we are like God. To abuse power is not like God, but to withhold saying something that hurts or to say I'm sorry when we do, that is like God. So while we're children on earth, children of God, he wishes to teach us more and more what he is like so that when we meet him, we will have more and more in common with him. So we just pray on this first Sunday of Advent. It's also the Feast of Our Lady Guadalupe today. We just pray for God's grace for us that we can more and more recognize in this year of mercy, ways that the Pope has proclaimed, ways to show mercy to others and not to be merciless as so many around us